Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bang & Olufsen teleconference covering the preliminary results for the fourth quarter 2013-2014 financial year. Today, I am pleased to present CEO Tuve Mantoni. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Please, sir, the speaker, please begin.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. It's Tuve Mantoni here, and thank you for joining our conference call. I'm going to start out by briefly going through the information that we released earlier this morning, and afterwards we'll open up for Q&A. And with me in the room today, I have our CFO, Henning Beyer Beck, and our investor relations, Claus Jensen. First of all, as you have seen, we have this morning published a trading update for the fourth quarter of 13-14. And we really have two important messages in this trading update. Firstly, obviously, we share with you the early top line results for the fourth quarter, and thereby also obviously the results for the full year. And we're delivering a fourth quarter in line with our guidance. Secondly, what we do in the release is that we announce to you that we have decided to investigate the possibility of strengthening our capital base. And really, this is in line with what we stated in the announcement on April 11th in conjunction with the Q3 report. As mentioned, and as part of our strategic work, we are as a company considering various possibilities for strengthening our capital base, and it's really to strengthen and accelerate the growth through three areas. One is increased investment in retail marketing and building the Bang & Olufsen brand further across the world. It's two, to maintain this high level of R&D investment that we have had up until now, to really lift and continue to lift the innovations level of the company and thereby strengthen further the product portfolio. And thirdly, we have a number of growth initiatives, for example, expansion in the US and third-party distribution for B&O Play, that we would love to just stimulate further based on the products that we have in the range right now and the pipeline that we see going forward. So on this basis, we have decided that between really today and the publication of our annual report, which is on August 13, we will investigate to strengthen our capital base. And we will do this by investigating the possibilities of an ABB, an accelerated book build offering. And let me just be clear, we have not made a decision yet. We are investigating the possibility, and once we have completed our investigation, we will inform the market in more detail. So at this point, I cannot comment further on this subject, and I trust that you appreciate this. If we just talk about the financial results, let's talk first about the Q4 and therefore also the 13-14 financial year at a group level. We ended Q4 with a growth of 8.3% year-on-year. And that was driven by growth across all our segments. We therefore ended the full year, the 12 months full year ending in May, with a 1.8% growth compared to last year. So this is 2.864 billion Danish kroners. And I want to point your attention to the fact that when you look at our business, and especially the AV business, we currently have about 124 fewer stores, if you exclude the Sparkle Road Shop and Shops, than we had in the same quarter last year. We had, if I'm honest, hoped for a couple of percentage points higher growth for the group, but we're happy that we have shown growth in the last two quarters. And we're also very happy with the state that the product portfolio is in right now, the AV portfolio, the reception to the new TV, the Beovision Avant, and that puts us in a strong position for next year. At a group level, the gross margin was strong in the quarter. And therefore, the combination of an increase in the top line, a strong gross margin, and disciplined cost management means that we expect to deliver on our guidance of EBIT around break-even. And without having to do all the math for you, this obviously implies that we will deliver an EBIT in Q4 of around 60 million Danish kroners. Again, driven by the increase in sales, the strong, very strong gross margin, and the disciplined cost management. If we go and look at the individual areas of the business and go segment by segment, let me start with the AV business. The AV business registered revenue of 483 million, and this is a growth of 3% compared to the same quarter last year. And of course, we're happy that AV continues to show the growth, but to be honest, we had hoped and expected that we could come a little bit higher in the fourth quarter for AV. I pointed to the much reduced dealer base, which obviously at the end of the day demonstrates that we now have a healthier network, we have a stronger network, the individual retailers are having a stronger business with a more tight and a lower number of retailers. But if you look at the number of Eurovision banks we managed to deliver, we had orders for about 3,000 units between the launch on the 8th of May and the end of the financial year, and we only delivered about 2,000 of those due to the ramp up of production. North America was also lower than we had hoped for. We registered sales in North America that were about 10 million below what we had hoped, and this is because we have continued the restructuring. As you know, we put in place a new management team in the US only recently, and we are moving a little bit slower in the US than what we'd hoped for. Obviously, US is a small market for us, but nonetheless, it impacted adversely compared to our expectations. In general, I think it's fair to say that we are now entering a phase where we need to really increase our marketing pressure. We need to attract new partners to some of our, we call them open points internally, high potential locations, i.e. cities where you can set up a Bang & Olufsen store and have a profitable business. Obviously working on that for next year. If we talk about some of the individual products, in addition to mentioning something about the Beovision Advang, which was really positively received by the market. First, I think I should say that we still need another few months of sales before we can judge the full success of this product. Obviously, it's a really important product for us for next year. So far, so good. The press reaction, the retailer reaction, and the consumer reaction has been very strong. So high expectations for this TV, but it's too early yet to really judge whether this is going to be the blockbuster that we are hoping for. The Beolab 18, on the other hand, we know already now is driving a lot of attention both in the press and with customers, and it's selling particularly well, and we expect that to continue. And you also saw us release the Beolab 20 late in the fourth quarter. That has had a good reception, but we also only managed to really fill the pipeline due to the late launch in the financial year. That was a little bit about the AV business. Let's talk about B&O Play. B&O Play revenue was 127 million in the quarter, and this corresponds to growth of around 12% compared to the same quarter last year. The performance in the third-party channels was particularly strong. We totaled around 31 million in the quarter. And we continue to really work hard on accelerating the product launches as well as expanding the number of third-party distributors. And if you look into next year, this is really what's going to drive the growth of B&O Play. It's the combination of a strong product roadmap and a continued acceleration of the number of sales points we have. As we stated back in April, you will see evidence in next financial year of a significantly stronger roadmap. And also a strong list of various commercial activities to drive B&O Play. You'll see this within the next few quarters. The only new product activity that we had for Play in Q4 that is worth mentioning was really the launch of the World Cup campaign, where with the H6 headphones and the Form 2i, we delivered a World Cup edition, which is being promoted across the world, obviously in connection with the Football World Cup. If we talk about automotive and ICE Power, I think the first thing to say is that automotive had a very strong fourth quarter and ended with a revenue of 169 million in the quarter. This is a 21% year-on-year growth. and this is, as a matter of fact, the strongest quarter that we've ever had for automotive. The growth was driven by the launch of a few new car models during the year, but also much improved take rates through the work that our commercial teams are doing together with our four partners across the world, working with them in their headquarters, but also working with the individual retailers across the world to drive interest in the Bang & Olufsen systems and what we call take rates, i.e. the percentage of people who buy our products when they buy a new car. ICE Power also had a strong quarter, revenue of 27 million compared to 19 million last year. I'm going to briefly touch on the outlook, but as you have seen from the note, we are not very concrete at the moment, and this is really because we're very dependent on the performance of the Beovision Evang and some of the other new products, and we have a full reporting on August 13 in which we are going to share a bit more detail on the outlook. But just going through the different segments, in the AV business, we believe that we can create a strong growth momentum next year based on the revitalized product portfolio. If we look at the portfolio now, it is stronger than it's been for a long time. We have, I think, improved across the range really well, and we have a few new products also coming next year. In play, we really have an emphasis here on accelerating the new product launches. We talked about this last quarter, where it's crucial for us that we pick up the speed on product launches, and we'll demonstrate that we can do this in this financial year, and at the same time expand the third-party retail distribution globally. In automotive, we believe in stable growth next year. I think the year we've just come out of has been a very strong year for us. Next year we see slightly more stable growth, but still growth through the launch of some new car models with our existing partners, as well as increasing take rates. In ICE Power, we also expect to continue to see a growth into next financial year. So in summary, a growth picture across all segments, with some of them growing a bit faster than the others. On EBIT, we have an expectation that we will improve EBIT for next financial year compared to the year that we have just closed. I'm just going to talk about our strategy update, because obviously on August 13 we're going to share with you in more detail how we look at the next 3 years. And this is really because we see ourselves having now completed the first phase, the first 3 years of our Leaner, Faster, Stronger strategy, and therefore now entering the next 3 years of that strategy. And there's going to be a few modifications to what we do, incorporating some learnings, and then a slight change of focus. But I think the first thing to say is there's going to be no radical changes. So what you will see in August when we present our some more details on our plans for the coming strategy period, you can expect no radical changes to the current focus areas. We believe that we right now, compared to 3 years ago, we have a much stronger platform, in two areas really. One is products, where I think if you go out and ask any of our retailers, they will confirm that we now have the strongest product portfolio that we've had for many years. And this obviously puts us in a strong position, a higher innovation level, a better and younger product portfolio, but still a need to continue to work on that and continuously improve and move forward the level of innovation. The other area is the retail network, where we have a much stronger platform than we had 3 years ago. We have fewer retailers, but we have better retailers. We have retailers who have a higher turnover per retailer and therefore a healthier network. We still have needs for improving across the network. The improvement will never stop. And we also have, as I mentioned before, areas where we need to fill the gaps with new and strong partners. The good news is that we do not have to spend our resources on fixing legacy issues. We can focus more on innovation, on consumer experience, and on growth. And this is what you will see us present in the strategy plan on August 13. Automotive and B&O Play, we still consider as our growth engines, in themselves being healthy businesses for Bang & Olufsen. But in addition to that, also feeding leads into the AV business. Due to the broad reach of automotive and the broad reach of B&O Play, those are natural areas to look for loyal customers over time. And as we explained when we presented the strategy 3 years ago, we believe that this is an important part of our strategy and it will continue to remain that. AV is the core of what we do, and here growth will be secured through continued product innovation and a continued strengthening of our retail network. We will also add to that a stronger effort in getting the message out, so to speak. So a stronger communication to consumers, a step up in marketing and communications, and we have made a conscious choice in the last few years to reduce our investments in that area. We're now looking into the next 3 years at that being more of a focus area, simply because our platform in terms of products and retail network is stronger. So what we will present in August is a bit more detail on how we will execute on the strategy. We will also give you some more details on our plans and our targets. It is something that we're working on between now and August 13, and I'm looking forward to sharing that with you when we get to the call in August. That was really the brief walkthrough of the news from this morning, and what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hand over to a question and answer session.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speaker, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. That's 01 if you want to ask a question. We have the first question from Mr. Lars Topholm from Carnegie. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have a couple of questions, but I'll just start by asking, sales in is good, but what was sales out growth in Q4 and preferably within both AV and Play? Well, that was my first question.
So Lars, it's a two here. So for the stores where we measure selling out, we do not measure selling out for all stores, but for the stores where we measure selling out, we have a selling out level at a similar level to what we have selling in, so no significant stock build.
Okay, and that goes for both AV and for Play?
Yes.
Okay, and then it, how much of the Q4 revenue was deferred revenue from Q3? I mean, when you and I discussed Q3 and I said I thought your Q3 revenue actually was bad because it was down 27% from Q3 2 years ago, you told me, well, there was some 50 million in revenue which was postponed to Q4. If that is true, is it then fair to assume that on an underlying level, your Q4 revenue is actually down?
So I think the comment that I made before was also that we launched the Avant TV and we had orders for about 3,000 units, but only delivered 2,000. It's correct that when we went out, so we had that overhang going out of Q4. When we went out of Q3, it's correct that we had, I think we said 40 to 50 million Danish kroners, and we have been able to deliver most of that with no significant overhang going out of Q4, other than the new products, in particular the AV.
But doesn't that also mean that if I adjust for this, your Q4 revenue is actually down year on year?
It's not, because you can take your 1,000 Avance and multiply that average price for that, and therefore you will work out that that's very close to what we had going out of Q3.
So you're saying you're flattish if we factor in the Avance you're going to deliver in Q1 next year?
I'm not sure I really understand.
Okay, can we just do the numbers then? So you report in AV 483 million in revenue for Q4 this year. You had 470 last year. So now I deduct 50 million. Then you underlying had 433 million Q4 this year versus 470 last year. That's 8% down. Is that reasonably correct?
And then you add back the Avant, which is the overhang going out of Q4, which is very similar to the overhang from Q3. So that doesn't change really the comparison.
So when I get your Q1 numbers for next year, there's a 40-50 million kroner deferred revenue from Q4 this year. That's basically what you're saying here.
That's the Avance of 1,000 units, yeah.
Okay, so the channel filling impact we are going to see from Avant is really 40-50 million kroner in next year.
That all depends on stand options and whether the speaker sales associated with that, but you can make the math based on your 1,000 units.
But how much revenue does 1,000 units give? Because if I take the retail price and I then deduct VAT and I then deduct that the dealer has to make a profit, then how much revenue contribution would 1,000 Avants give?
So,
I can't get a number close to 50 million.
You can easily get a number close to that because you, if you take the Avants, you take the retail price, you deduct the VAT, and you know roughly what our dealer margin is, and you attach the speaker sales, then that's a very, very good estimation of that.
Ah, so it's including speakers. Okay, then I got it. Okay, okay.
As you know, every time we sell TVs, we have a speaker attachment rate of a certain percent, so that you can assume that.
Yeah. Then on the gross margin, you said it was a lot better than Q4 last year. But I mean, Q3, Q4 last year had pretty low gross margins. What was the gross margin level in Q4 compared to the level from Q2 and 3 this year, where we were just below 43%? Was it more or less in line with that?
Yeah, so what I can say, obviously, Lars, we're not releasing now the fully audited figures here. So that we will do on August 13, where you'll get all the details on gross margin broken down by segments in the normal way that we normally do it. And as you also appreciate, gross margin is obviously a result of a lot of different factors. But what you can trust is that it's a very strong gross margin in Q4.
Also compared to the level seen in Q2 and 3.
Yes, it's a very strong gross margin.
So it's higher than in Q2. I mean, we're not going to, when we get the numbers, we're not going to see a gross margin dilution compared to Q2 and Q3.
That I don't want to share now. That we'll share in August 13.
But that almost sounds like we might see that. But then if we look at the EBIT, are there any one-offs in Q4, and what is the net impact from R&D capitalization in Q4?
So there's no one-offs in Q4, and R&D capitalizations are at a similar level in absolute terms to Q4 last year.
And what was it in Q4 last year?
You can look in your report.
You have the number too. It's much easier if you just tell me.
Yeah, but Lars, what we're doing here is we're releasing our trading update. We're giving you the sales figures broken down by segments. We're providing an important piece of information, which is that EBIT is around break-even, and we'll also take the liberty not to go into all the details on the...
Okay, so but when I look up what the net impact was in Q4 last year, then you're saying it's a similar level in Q4 this year? Okay, then looking at the funds you are considering to raise, it sounds to me as a big part of this will be invested in OPEX rather than CAPEX. Can you indicate how much you're going to increase your OPEX level and to what extent this is a temporary increase in cost or a more permanent increase? I mean, are you lifting your cost base to a new level?
We're not lifting the cost base to a new level, and what I can tell you is that part of it is OPEX, part of it will be CAPEX, and part of it will also be ensuring that the company is not sailing too close to the wind going into the next strategic phase.
But then I don't understand, because if you're having a good EBIT in Q4 and you're not lifting your cost level and you're seeing growth, then why do you need to raise cash?
So again, it's a combination of OPEX and CAPEX that we will be funneling the funds into, and then it's to ensure that the company is not sailing too close to the wind.
Okie dokie. How was the cash flow in Q4? Was it positive? And what's the net debt by year end?
So we don't disclose the net debt and the cash flow at this stage because we want to make sure that we get everything fully lined up for the August 13 release. What I can can obviously tell you is that the cash flow is a combination of many factors, including the accounts receivables. And since we had high product launches and product sales in the month of May, accounts receivables you can expect to be higher than they were last year.
So it's fair to assume cash flow has been negative for Q4.
You can have an assumption around that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lars.
I remind you that if you want to ask a question, you have to press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Mr. Paul Jessen from Danske Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, Paul here. I think Lars took most of the questions. I have one follow-up, and that's about the same store sales, which you say is up 21%. Is it fair to assume that based on the closing of the stores and the reported sales, as you said, sale in and sale out is more or less equal, that the underlying same store sales, if you had not reduced the number of stores, would have been growing by mid-single digits or so?
So, Paul, I must start out by saying that I'm impressed with your calculation because you are pointing to one thing that is absolutely correct. What we're stating in the release is we're stating the simple sell-in divided by the number of stores, and that is 21%. And again, it is really important that people do not confuse this for same-store sales growth, because underlying the numbers of stores, we are still seeing a churn in the network, i.e. an attraction of new stores and then obviously the closure of some. And if you look at the 24 months that you need to calculate same-store sales growth, you will see that it's a lower number than the 21. So you're not far off.
Okay, thank you. I think then everything else is covered.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Lars Topholm from Carnegie. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, I just forgot to ask about China. You were down in China in Q3 also, if you adjusted for the special situation, same quarter the year before. How was that in Q4?
Much better. Yeah, so we're up in brick in Q4. We do see on brick we see a little bit of an adverse impact from some of what's happening in Russia, but overall a good performance in China.
So you're up in China specifically?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Dan Weise from Nordea. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello, Dan Weise. A few questions from my side. On the AV business, you're growing 3%, and then there are some timing issues. But then if you compare to where you were 2 years ago, you are actually not really growing. Can you give us a bit of flavor on that? Because it appears that you have a much stronger product set up. You in many ways are having a stronger position, but actually you are not really growing on a 2 year perspective. Can you give us a bit of flavor on the dynamics behind this? Why is it not really picking up? Is it because all the stores you have closed and we need to see the new stores, or what is your thinking about this?
Yes, so hi Dan, it's Tue here again. So I think if you look at the AV business, obviously it's slightly up compared to last year, and you're right, it's down compared to the very strong fourth quarter we had 2 years ago. Back then we had, I believe, I don't have the numbers right here, but I believe we had more than 900 stores in the network, B1s and Shop and Shops, and we're now down to less than 700. So we proactively closed about 125 of those, and we've lost another 75 in that two-year process. So what we're doing now is every store is punching harder, but we have fewer stores, and that means that we have a healthier network. But we do have a job in ensuring that we continue the same store sales growth. We continue the growth through our strong stores that we have left, but at the same time open a few stores in those areas where we can invite someone to have a sustainable business. So if I look at the AV business, we have a much stronger product portfolio. This means that the individual store is doing better, but it also, because of the rationalization of the network, means that the overall revenue is not yet in that growth momentum where we want it to be. And that's what we're working on for next year, obviously, with the continuation of the products, the improvements to the retail network, and then in a few areas, adding a number of stores.
Okay, and then on the gross margin, it's very good to hear that you have a very strong gross margin development, and I guess that was driven by the AB business. What is the reason for this? Is it because of the strong speaker sales? Is it the new products? Are there also, in the past, there have been some swings owing to how you put indirect production costs into your gross margin? So could you give us a bit of flavor around what has actually driven this very strong Q4 gross margin, and also maybe a bit on the sustainability of the margin?
Yeah, so the first thing to say is that the gross margin improvement is not only driven by AV, it's driven by strong gross margins across the different segments. And as you know, in the B&O Play segment, we have really had a strong change in mix, because if you look at a year ago, we had a very, very high share of the V1 TV, which we also at the time reported to have a low gross margin. This is 2 years ago, and then that is practically at a very, very low level now in Play. So you're seeing across AV, Play, especially strong gross margins, but also in our automotive business. We really see this as a combination of factors. We have in the AV business, as you know, launched some speakers that are driving very healthy revenues for us, and they have a good gross margin. There, I should mention, especially BeoLab 18, which has become a bit of a blockbuster for us, which we're hoping to continue, and it looks like it will. And that is now taking up a significant share of our sales and pulling with it the other speakers as well. And then we are seeing that a lot of the work we do on new products in general helps our gross margin. We have obviously also, as you know, rationalized the product portfolio a lot, so we have fewer SKUs. That means that we can dedicate our efforts and resources on fewer things and do our utmost to do them better. And this is helping also the like-for-like gross margin on individual products. There has been no changes to the way that we calculate gross margins, no changes to the way that we account for indirect production costs. There obviously, I should note, was last Q4, there were some significant write-downs of inventory which adversely impacted the gross margin. So when you do the year-on-year comparison, I'm sure you're taking that into account.
Okay, thank you very much.
I remind you once again that if you want to ask a question, you have to press 01 on your telephone keypad. 01. There are no further questions at this time. Please go ahead, speakers.
So to all of you, thank you very much for listening in to this release of our preliminary results. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you on August 13, where we will go into more detail about what's going to happen next year and in the next 3 years. So until then, have a good summer. Thank you.